I'm not going to repeat everything I just said. We're going to start at Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them." I want to stop there right at first. Because I'm going to be talking today about levels of awareness of sin. You know, when we confess our sins, we confess according to the level of awareness that we have of that sin. So I'm going to be looking at the level of awareness that this young man had about his own sin. Right here, at this point, the young man is not aware whatsoever of any sin in his heart. What he is aware of is a sense of entitlement. I know I'm going to get part of the inheritance here. The parable didn't say this. The parable does say he's the younger son. Back in those days, as we know from the Old Testament, for sure, the older son is the one who always gets the major portion of the inheritance. The eldest gets twice as much as everybody else. So already this younger son knows, I'm not going to get what I think is my fair share. I believe that's where he was going with this. But he knew his older son was going to get more. And he felt entitled to at least his part of it. And he felt entitled enough to ask for it now. I don't want to wait for the time that you think is appropriate. He's aware of a sense of entitlement to something he believes he should have. He's not aware of any sin at all in his life. But I believe it's there already. The sin of greed. The sin of self-centeredness. I'm going to take from my father and my father's household what I think is mine, even though he's still alive and still needs it. Greed, self-centeredness. He did not see that at all. But it's there. And I believe that is one level of awareness that we can have of our sins. In this level of awareness, we are only aware of what other people are doing to us or taking from us. That's all we're aware of. Life seems so much more unfair than it really is. I want you to notice something. The father divided his property between them. He didn't have to. He knew this was an unwise choice. He knew it was coming out of his younger son's greed and self-centeredness. But he gave his son the property anyway. That he didn't deserve. Even at this point, God is showing grace to his younger son who didn't even know he was doing anything wrong. Certainly didn't ask for it. And was going to do much more wrong. I believe, looking back on my life, God did this to me many, many times. I was not aware of my sin. All I was aware of is what other people were taking from me, are keeping from me, doing to me. That's all I was aware of. But God showed me grace anyway. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. What level of awareness do we have here? Well, I believe at this point, the younger son is probably aware that he is now doing things that other people might consider wrong. He's probably aware that he is doing something that certainly his father has told him is wrong. Squandering his wealth in wild living. He knew that others probably think that he shouldn't be doing what he was doing, but he's enjoying himself. He's having fun. He feels good about it anyway, so I'm going to continue doing it. Yeah, some people out there are blabbering. Yeah, so what? He probably saw his father and certainly his older brother. I can say this having siblings myself, as just nattering about stuff that doesn't make any difference at all, just because they want to be annoying, nitpicking. That's how I imagine he saw certainly his older brother and probably his father, among other people. He was enjoying his life the way he decided to do, even though he knew on some level some people might think it to be a wrong thing. And maybe even he was aware that he was going against his own upbringing. He knew that, but that doesn't matter. I'm doing it anyway. That is one level of awareness of our sin. Yeah, I know some people think that I'm doing something wrong, but yeah, they're just, you know, you can't please everybody. Some people are just going to be on your case no matter what. So, yeah. As they used to say, talk to the hand. So that's, and then inside ourselves we know, you know, maybe I probably could have come across somewhat different, but that's not the real issue. The real issue is they're just trying to cramp my style. That's the real issue. That's one level of awareness of sin. And when we confess our sins, we'll probably confess it to the level of our awareness. Have you ever heard someone confess their sins this way? Yeah, I know, you know, some people think what I'm doing is wrong, but, you know, what is the deal? You know, nobody's perfect, and, you know, I'm enjoying myself. It's not hurting anybody, and some people may come across and see me as mean, but they're the ones who, and that's the real problem. Is it not my sin, it's other people doing this, that, or the other. That's the real problem. You ever heard anyone confess sin that way? You start off with just a smattering of, yeah, I might have been a little wrong, but, and the real issue is what comes after the but. Verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Now we come to another level of awareness of sin. And now the awareness is that we're actually suffering some consequences. You see, if he hadn't squandered all his wealth in wild living, yeah, there was a famine, but you know, he would have had resources to make it through with much less suffering. I won't say no suffering. He, along with everybody else, when a famine hits, man, there's food, there's less food for everybody. Everybody's going to feel some sort of pinch. But the problem was, now he has much less resources. And he is aware now that his sin, the things he thought were just people nitpicking at him, the people are nattering nabobs of negativity, as who was that used to say? Some politician or other. Nattering nabobs of negativity. But now he's saying, wow, it's actually, it's hurting me. There are consequences. But still not fully connecting it to his own behavior. He may just be regretting the fact that there's consequences now happening. You know, I think sometimes we confess our sins that way as well. Yes, we know that our behavior was really not what other people wanted us to do. But the real problem now is the consequences. The real problem now is the suffering I'm going through. The real problem now is how much I'm hurting, not my sin. It's my suffering. Getting closer. Have you ever heard anyone confess their sins that way? I want to talk about how much I'm hurting right now. Verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The depths of his suffering are now even greater. He's now tempted to do not only what he thinks is wrong, but what he is just, it's disgusting. Not just somewhat wrong to some people somewhere, but the very things that just go right against his own grain, that's now what he is tempted to do. See, a good Jewish boy, pigs are the lowest form of life. Not only are you taking care of these vermin, but I'm so hungry I want to eat their food. How low can you go? At this level of awareness of our sins, we're tempted to do things that even we feel are disgusting, but we see no way out. We literally don't see any options to do anything else. Have you ever heard someone confess their sins that way? Yes, I'm doing this. I'm doing this wrong, and I know it's wrong. I hate the fact that I'm doing this, but I cannot do anything else. That's another level of awareness of our sins. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." The thing that is driving him right now is the pain of his suffering. Not regret for his sin, you will notice. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants," because they have food to spare. And he got up and he went to his father. At this point, he is finally connecting the dots. He's connecting the dots that his own sin really had a lot to do with the pain he was in. And he sees it. He sees the solution. He no longer feels there is no way out. There is a way out. And he is aware that he is not entitled to anything anymore. He didn't go back there as his father's son. He knew that was, in his mind, water under the bridge. He just wanted to present himself as a possible hired hand, because at least then he'd have some food. Any sense of entitlement is gone. All he has is hope that he might get some food. That he is now at the point of abject humility towards his father. He's now at the point where he has connected his own sin to the consequences that he is facing. But what is still not there, what is still not there, and I will add, the other two parables, this is also true of. What is still not there is a commitment that he'll stop sinning. He didn't say that he'd stop. He didn't promise, "I'll never do this again." He didn't say, "From now on, I'll be the kind of son that you want me to be." That is not in his statement. The lost coin did not say to the person searching for it, "I know I was not supposed to be lost, but now I'm going to be there for it." No, the coin didn't do anything. The lost sheep did not say to the shepherd, "I know I wandered off and I'm never going to wander again." The sheep did not say that. The son also did not say yet that I commit to stop the sinning. I think that's a natural consequence of the realization of where it's brought him. If we really truly see how our sin has caused the devastating consequences that we're in, we will want to stop sinning automatically anyway. But he did not see that as the main thing he wanted to talk about, and his father did not ask it from him. What is still not done yet is a change of course, a change of mind, or in the Greek, metanoiao, meta, meaning like metamorphosis, changing. Noieo, mind. Metanoieo is translated repent. That's not here. It's not here. I think it is a natural consequence. But it's not required for God's grace. God doesn't wait until we are at the point where we're willing to repent before he shows us grace. The Father interrupted his son's speech and said, "Hey, let's celebrate." All he knew that his lost son was home again. That's what was important to his father. I grew up in a tradition of churches that we said, you know, that God had a 5-point plan of salvation. And when I read the scriptures, I believe all 5 of those things are definitely there, and all 5 of them are definitely connected with being saved. What I got wrong was you had to do all 5 before God would show you any grace. You had to hear, you had to believe, you had to repent, you had to be baptized, you had to live a Christian life. If you didn't do all 5 of those, here this boy had not yet had a chance to say that he was repenting. And we don't even know if that was his intention yet. God was just so eager to show him grace. Let me finish up the parable. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, okay, this is a speech I've prepared. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And I believe his father interrupted his speech that he had prepared. His father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. What was he wearing on his feet, I wonder? Maybe old rugged, ratty sandals, I don't know. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And that was the main point Jesus was making in all 3 of these parables. Celebrating the sinner. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You never did that. But when this son of yours that has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you've killed the fatted calf for him. The unfairness, just so blatant. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. God is eager to show grace even before we voice our willingness, our readiness to repent. I know that's true of me in my life, especially when I look backward. I can see times in my life when I had no idea that I was acting out of a sinful attitude, that I was acting out of pride, that I was acting out of selfishness, that I was acting out of greed. I really did not know that's where I was, and God showed me grace anyway. And there are things in my life, even today, all I'm aware of is that other people react weird to me. I have no idea why. I don't know why. What? They're just nitpickers. They just want to find something to be angry about. That's the awareness I'm at with some of my own sin. I don't know if any of you can identify with that. I know that's true of me today. God is eager to show me grace as much as I give him the sliver of a chance to do that. I will certainly save myself a lot of trouble the more deeply I'm aware of my own sin. The more deeply I'm aware, not only that I may be doing something that some people think is wrong, but I'm deeply aware of what the consequences of my sin actually are. Even if I don't know how to do anything different. Even if it feels to me like there's no other thing I can do, God is willing to show me grace. And there is a way out. God will make a way. When we are most discouraged, when we are most humiliated, when we feel most helpless, God is there. He does have a way. He celebrates any chance we give him to show him that part of our lives, to invite him into there. He throws a party. That may not be where we're feeling right now. It doesn't feel like a partying thing to us, but it is to him. You know, as the story ends, the older brother is exactly where the younger brother started. The older brother, all he was aware of is, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything right, and I'm not getting what I'm entitled to. I'm not getting the celebration. I'm not being rewarded with parties with my friends. You, God, are being nice to people who don't deserve it. The older brother, who from all outward appearance was doing everything right, is the one who really is in need of the grace of God and completely unaware of it, of his own sin. I'm at the point in my life where I'm getting more comfortable, not all the way there, I'm getting more comfortable with seeing myself as the sinner in the situations that I find myself. You see, I want to be the older brother. I want to see situations that cause me some sort of pain, that people are reacting to me in ways that are hurtful to me. I want to see them as the problem. I want to see unfair expectations as the problem. I want to see lack of being recognized for who I am as the problem. When my real problem is something I'm completely unaware of. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but I know it's true of me. And I know God is eager to show grace. The Father, I believe, was eager to show grace to his older son as well. But we don't see that ever happening in the story. We don't see it. Not that it was not available. The older son didn't see the need for it. I am in need of the grace of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I have deeper and deeper thankfulness, Lord, for the things that I'm become more and more aware of, where I am wrong, where I am the sinner, where I am the tax collector. Father, and I appreciate so much that you choose to be around people like me rather than the people who have it all together spiritually. Father, I pray that we would have the same attitude that eventually the younger brother had at the end, Lord. That even though we're desperate, even though we're hurting, even though we are not entitled to anything from you, we come to you anyway because you are our only hope. Father, we thank you that you don't turn us away, but you celebrate every time we turn to you. May we do it even more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Say to the person next to you as you leave, grace to you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ.